This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The history of copper country in the Upper Peninsula tends to focus on the mining and the mostly European immigrants who worked in those mines. But that traditional history misses something, the presence of African Americans. The Michigan Technological University Archives and Copper Country Historical Collections are working to rectify that with a project called Black Voices in the Copper Country, funded in part by the Michigan Humanities Council. Here with us now is Lindsay Hiltonen, who is a university archivist with Michigan Tech. And it is worth noting, Lindsay is a native of the Copper Country. Now, the history we've come to know and accept really isn't as complete as we thought.
Indeed, and that's what we've been able to uncover through this project. And it's something that wasn't widely thought about, not because people weren't interested in diversity, but because people weren't necessarily sure that there were resources that could provide evidence for that diversity. And as an archivist, finding, preserving, and making access to evidence is really important to us, so that's why we wanted to do this project.
What are you focusing on? Especially, I'm wondering what time frame and also exactly what is the geographic area that we call Copper Country.
It wasn't the full four-county copper country. We really focused on Houghton and Keweenaw County, mainly because we had the most resources that related to those counties. We looked at not just Michigan Tech history, but also the local community. We wanted to make sure that we had documents, manuscript collections, photographs, things that could help us tell that story.
Give us an idea, Lindsay, of the kind of materials that you're going through to kind of help build this story of the African-American presence in copper country.
Sure. Probably 95% of it was housed within the archives, so things that we physically own in our collections. We used print and graphic and manuscript materials. We used our historic newspaper materials and extensive vertical file clippings. We collect over 5,000 subject areas of newspaper clippings, so we were able to dig into those to find out additional information about individuals, groups, or businesses that we were researching. We had sort of a dual focus. We were looking at Michigan Tech's social and cultural history and student experiences, and we are also looking at the early mining era and specific individuals and families that were living and working and thriving in the community up here but were scarcely known before this investigation.
And what time frame are we talking?
Our initial time frame, we wanted to look from the 1850s only up to the 1900s, and that was because Dr. Michelle Johnson, who's a community historian with the Michigan Historical Center, she had actually reached out to us to see if we could find some materials to help them revamp the exhibits for a new century project down at the Historical Center. So she was the one that planted the seed, and once we started investigating, we realized we had material that spanned not only the 1850 to 1900, it went well beyond and into the present day. So we knew we wanted to have as much of a narrative and a complete narrative as we could muster up through the resources. So we looked at 1850 to the 1990s.
And you're in the middle of this project, but I'm interested in what you've learned so far. What kind of African-American presence was in Copper Country through these years?
Surprisingly, it was quite active. Even from prior to the Civil War, we found some census data that showed some folks living in the local area, mainly working as laborers, as domestics, as servants. And then we used that census data to track all the way up until the early 1900s to see where people were living, to get clues as to what kinds of professions they were in. And then once we had some context clues of where we wanted to research, we were able to really flesh out these personal stories. The Ritchie family, probably our most prominent personal story of note, was for Appleton R. Ritchie. He was an active business owner. He was a barber, and he had many other side projects throughout Houghton, and he also was a property owner, which, you know, was quite surprising considering that he moved to Houghton in the late 1860s and was able to, you know, develop some wealth and be a prominent member of the community. This was something that we were very pleasantly surprised by.
Is there a sign or a sense African-Americans that you are learning about, were they working in the mines, or do you not know yet where they worked?
We weren't able to find a lot of evidence that they were actively working in the copper mines. We have an extensive collection of company employment records from the Calumet and Hecla Mining Companies, Quincy Mining Company, and the Copper Range Company. Throughout our investigation, we had a list of roughly 20 people that we thought perhaps linked up to some that we located in the census. But then when we pulled their employment card, we realized that they were white. We weren't finding any reference of African Americans working in the mines except for one card for one gentleman, and he worked as a trammer for one day, and then he quit. So.
How will you be sharing your work?
In a few different ways. Our public programming started in February, actually. We were able to do some initiatives for Black History Month. We had a social media campaign where we partnered with the Center for Diversity and Inclusion at Michigan Tech, where we would post things on our Facebook and their Twitter page to get photographs and little tidbits of historical facts out there. And then we also had a reception at the Carnegie Museum of the CUNA, where we were able to install a photo exhibit and we presented a public program. We also had another public program in March where Dr. Michelle Johnson came and spoke with us about what's happening down at the Michigan Historical Center, and she tied in our project to other similar projects throughout the whole state, so we're able to get a sense of what other communities are uncovering in their research efforts. Our final thing, it actually went live a few days ago, was our Black Voices in the Copper Country web exhibit, which will live indefinitely on the archives website. You can visit that at blackvoices.lib.mtu.edu, and you can see some of the findings that we found and hopefully be inspired to come visit us in the archives and do some more investigation of your own.
What does your work say to all of us about commonly accepted historical narratives?
I think what this work really says is to challenge the exclusive past. You want to look beyond what has been told again and again, and you can't accept has already been said by others time and time again. Not to say that those histories are incorrect, but to say that they're not inclusive of all narratives, and what we really should be striving for is an inclusive narrative, a holistic telling, not only of our family stories, of our local stories, but also our state and our national narratives that we're telling in history. Think about the diversity of experiences that people go through, and ask questions, be skeptical, and dig deeper.
Lindsay Hilton is the University Archivist at Michigan Technological University, working on this project, Black Voices in the Copper Country. Great talking with you, Lindsay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.